Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, verse number 20. Sorry, yeah, verse number 27. Aho Bhattaswar Yasasas Tirashkari. Kushastali punya yasa skuri bhuva. Pasyanti nityam yad anugrahesitam. Smitavalokam swapatim sma yat praja. Undoubtedly, it is wonderful that Dwarka has defeated the glories of the heavenly planets and has enhanced the celebrity of the earth. The inhabitants of Dwarka are always seeing the soul of all living beings, Krishna, in his loving feature. He glances at them and favors them with sweet smiles. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The heavenly planets are inhabited by demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, and Vayu, and the pious souls reach there after performance of many virtuous acts on earth. Modern scientists agree that the timing arrangement in higher planetary systems is different from that of the earth. Thus, it is understood from the revealed scriptures that the duration of life there is 10,000 years. By our calculations, 6 months on Earth is equal to one day on the heavenly planets. Facilities of enjoyment are also similarly enhanced, and the beauty of the inhabitants is legendary. Common men on the Earth are very much fond of reaching the heavenly planets because they have heard that comforts of life are far greater than on the Earth. They are now trying to reach the moon by spacecraft. Considering all this, the heavenly planets are more celebrated than the earth. But the celebrity of earth has defeated that of the heavenly planets because of Dwarka, where Lord Sri Krishna reigned as king. Three places, namely Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, are more important than the famous planets within the universe. These places are perpetually sanctified because whenever the Lord descends on earth, he displays his transcendental activities, particularly in these three places. They are perpetually the holy lands of the Lord, and the inhabitants still take advantage of the holy places, even though the Lord is now out of their sight. The Lord is the soul of all living beings, and he desires always to have all living beings in their swarupa, in their constitutional position, to participate in transcendental life in his association. His attractive features and sweet smiles go deep into the heart of everyone, and once it is so done, the living being is admitted into the kingdom of God, from which no one returns. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The heavenly planets may be very famous for offering better facilities of material enjoyment, but as we learn from the Bhagavad Gita 9, 20, and 21, one has to come back again to the earth planet as soon as the acquired virtue is finished. Dwarka is certainly more important than the heavenly planets, because whoever has been favored with the smiling glance of the Lord shall never come back again to the rotten earth, which is certified by the Lord himself as a place of misery. Not only this earth is certified by the Lord as a place of misery, not only this earth, but also all planets of the universes are places of misery, because in none of the planets within the universe is there eternal life, eternal bliss, eternal knowledge. Any person engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is recommended to live in one of the above-mentioned three places, namely Dwarka, Mathura, or Vrindavana. Because devotional service in these three places is magnified, those who go there to follow the principles in terms of the instructions imparted in the revealed scriptures surely achieve the same result as obtained during the presence of Lord Shri Krishna. His abode and he himself are identical. And a pure devotee, under the guidance of another experienced devotee, can obtain all the results, even at present. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, so again, we'll deal with the teases of Srila Prabhupada. He says that it is certified that all the planets in the material world are rotten. And let's see. So that is in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartina rijana mamupedya tukonteya punarjanma navidyate. 8th chapter, 16th verse. From the highest planet of the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death takes place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. And then also text 15, Mama Petya Tukontiya Punar Avar Dukalayama Sasvatam. I'm sorry. Mama Petya Punar Janma Dukalayama Sasvatam Napunuvanti Mahatmana Samsidir Paramam Gata. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. So these two verses referred to by Prabhupada in this purport, where he says, the heavenly planets may be very famous for offering better facilities of material enjoyment, but as we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, 9:20 and 21, one has to come back again to the earth planet as soon as acquired virtue is finished. Okay, so we'll go to that point. But before that, it says here, it says that Dwarka is certainly more important than heavenly planets, because whoever has been favored with the smiling glance of the Lord shall never come back again to this rotten, which is a heavy, heavy word, rotten earth, which is certified by the Lord as a place of misery. Not only this earth, but also all planets of the universes are places of misery, because in none of the planets within the universe is there eternal life, eternal bliss, and eternal knowledge. So that's one very important point for us, for all people in the material world to realize, because our illusion is to think that we will find some situation in the material world where we can have sustained sense gratification and live in a sort of paradise, just like the name, Hawaii? Does that mean heaven? You're right. Hawaii means heaven in the Hawaiian language. Right? So people think if you go to Hawaii, it's heaven. Is it true, Prabhu? Is it heaven? Yeah. It is? Yeah. But because there's old age, disease, death, all that good stuff, right? Haribo. So, then Prabhupada says that even if we do go back to the, even if we do go to the heavenly planets, Trividya mam somapa putapapa yajna istva swagatim patayante pratayante te punyam asadya surendralokam asnanti divyan divideva bogan. Those who study the Vedas and drink the somadus, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. Purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. 9th chapter, 20th verse. The 21st verse says, Te tam bhuktva swargalokyam vishalam. Shine punya martyalokam vishanti. Evan trahi dharmam anuprapana gata gautam kama kama labante. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure, and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. This is the truth. This is called the Ferris wheel syndrome. When you buy a ticket to put your kitty on the Ferris wheel, or you go with the kitty on the Ferris wheel, you get on it at the bottom. So that's not so interesting. But then it starts and you end up on the top, and oh my God, it's like ecstasy, right? But then it comes back to the bottom again, and then it goes back to the top. So this is the Ferris wheel syndrome. Every time it goes to the top, everyone's going, hi, 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 well, you know, like that, right? And then they come down, it's like, you know, a dour look. And then it goes back up, and they're all happy again. So that's what the Ferris wheel syndrome is. It's going up and down in the material world and enjoying heavenly pleasures and then coming back down again and suffering on the rotten earth, or maybe even going farther down into the rot called the Patala or Naraka, etc. So one who is promoted to the higher planetary systems enjoys a longer duration of life and better facilities for sense enjoyment. Yet, one is not allowed to stay there forever. One is again sent back to this earth upon finishing the resultant fruits of pious activities. He who has not attained perfection of knowledge is indicated in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmarasya Yata, or in other words, he who fails to understand Krishna, the cause of all causes, becomes baffled about achieving the ultimate goal of life and is thus subjected to the routine of being promoted to the higher planets and then again coming down as if situated on a Ferris wheel, which sometimes goes up and sometimes comes down. The purport is that instead of being elevated to the spiritual world from which there is no longer any possibility of coming down, one simply revolves in a cycle of birth and death on higher and lower planetary systems. One should better take to the spiritual world to enjoy an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge, and never return to this miserable material existence. This is the truth. So, then, Prabhupada also says, there are three most preferable places on the earth and in the spiritual world. Because whatever we see on the earth is a reflection of what's on the spiritual in the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, there are three places, Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. And that's where these eternal pastimes are taking place. And there's no difference between Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka in the material world and those three places in the spiritual world. However, we can go to Vrindavan, we can go to Mathura, we can go to Dwarka, but if our consciousness is not pure, we won't experience that transcendental pastime. In fact, we'll experience smoking marijuana, engaging in illicit sex in those three places. And there are people like that, that are in those three places today, who are engaging in these type of activities instead of becoming completely transcendentally situated through Krishna consciousness. And the other thing is, anywhere where there's a pure devotee, that place can be transformed into Vrindavan. So Prabhupada came to America. He was asked in a class, I think in 1966, are you in this world? And Prabhupada said, what's the question? Are you in this world? He said, no, I'm not in this world. And then he explained, he said, I'm now in America, but I am not in America because I'm practicing Krishna conscious. So I have not taken the American way of life. I'm living exactly the same way that I lived in Vrindavan. So everything depends on consciousness. It's not geography. Geography is not important. What's important is the consciousness that a person has. So therefore, one can be living in Vrindavan and still be very sinful. And one can be living in New York City and actually be in Vrindavan, like Prabhupada was lecturing in New York City at that time. But he explained, I'm not here. My consciousness is in Vrindavan. So we have to cultivate our consciousness, just like you cultivate a garden. You know, it requires a lot of work, and you have to protect the plants when they begin to sprout. First of all, when you plant the seed, the birds are very smart. They know when the planting is going. So they'll come and they'll fly down and pounce on the wherever you planted, so that the seeds sort of come up to the surface. You only plant the seeds maybe 1 or maximum 2 inches. You know. So they know that. So they'll come and they'll pounce on it with their feet and their wings. And then they'll look for the seed right away and they'll eat the seeds. They're very smart, very, very smart. Now, but they'll never get all the seeds, right? So then, the seeds sprout. Now, when they sprout, they're extremely vulnerable because they're very thin, and anything that, you know, is disruptive, like you could have a hailstorm, you could have a really strong rain, it could kill the sprout. It's very easy for them to die at that point. And there are things that eat them under the ground, like moles, or things that eat them above the ground, like bugs, and also certain, you know, like rats. You know, there's so many things that can go wrong in a garden, you know. Now, when they get stronger, you know, they sprout good roots and they get bigger, they have a stalk and they have leaves, then the moths come, the moths and the butterflies, and they'll start laying their eggs on the leaves. And if you plant too early, a frost can come and kill everything. See? So let's say now you have a, you know, nice plant with nice leaves. Well, the moths will come, they lay their eggs, and then as soon as the eggs hatch, they start eating the leaves. And you end up with big holes in all your leaves. So you see, so many things can go wrong in a garden. And in the same way, in material life, so many things can go wrong at any time. Just like someone called me up yesterday, and they said they're coughing, they have a fever, and that they have a blocked nose. I said, you should immediately go and get a corona test as a devotee. And they asked me, what can I do at home? Well, I explained a lot of things they can do at home. But I said, you should find out right away, because otherwise you can infect your family members, right? So you see that something can go wrong at any moment in this life. There's no guarantee. Therefore, and it's not just on the earth. Even on the heavenly planets, things go wrong, even though they're enjoying so much sense gratification. Sometimes the demons conquer the heavenly planets. And the demigods are, you know, they're in a catastrophic situation. They run away, they hide, and pray that the Lord Narayana or Vishnu does something. So it's anywhere in the material world is precarious, and there's nothing guaranteed. And there's no question of sustained happiness. However, anywhere that there's a pure devotee can make that place into Vrindavan. And that's exactly what Prabhupada did. He went around and opened temples and farms, and if devotees follow Prabhupada's instructions, that place becomes like Vrindavan. Right? Okay, so are there any questions? I'm sure I didn't cover all the points. So it says here, the Lord's abode and he himself are identical, and a pure devotee under the guidance of another experienced devotee can obtain all the results even at present. Haribo. Yeah. Are you talking about Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka? That's different. No, they say that, you know, in Vrindavan, any devotional service you do is amplified 1,000 times more than anywhere else in the world. And any offense that you commit is amplified 1,000 times more. Is that what you mean?
Well, no, I think it's close to say that the relationship is more on reverence.
Yes, yes, yes. It's because it's more intimate, whereas Dwarka is more, a little bit more formalized. You know, but that depends on the preference of the devotee. No, it's in terms of sweetness, not better. They're all transcendental, but it's a question of sweetness and intimacy. So it's the mood is different in Dwarka and Mathura and Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the most intimate and most sweet, but that doesn't mean that it's better than the other places. It's just like there's 3 degrees of, let's say there's 3 degrees of sweetness. There's sweet, sweeter, and sweetest. It's all sweet, but there's sweet, sweeter, and sweetest. So sweetest is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and even in Vrindavan there are places where the sweetness is even more intense, like for example, if you go to Govardhan, and then if you go further you go to Radha Kund and Sham Kund, that's where it's the sweetest. So this is explained in the Nectar of Instruction, where it says text number 7. Let's see. 7, number 8, is it? Let's look at number 9. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathurapuri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavana, because of Krishna's Rasa-lila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavana is Govardhana Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radha Kunda stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kunda, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? Is this what you were talking about? Okay. Okay. Tatra api, superior to that. And then iha api, superior to this. And then So those are the words. Tatra api, iha api. He uses tatra api twice and iha api once. Yeah, because they're all transcendental. All those abodes are transcendental. It's a question of sweetness. Sweet, sweeter, sweetest. Right. Okay, so that is the nectar of instruction. Text number 9. It explains that. And then beautiful purport. I don't think we have time. Well, maybe I have time. It's actually a short purport. It's not too long. The spiritual world is 3/4 of the total creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is the most exalted region. The spiritual world is naturally superior to the material world. However, Mathura and the adjoining areas, although appearing in the material world, are considered superior to the spiritual world because the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself appeared at Mathura. The interior forests of Vrindavan are considered superior to Mathura because of the presence of the 12 forests, Dvadasa Vana, such as Talavana, Madhuvana, and Bahulavana, which are famous for the various pastimes of the Lord. Thus, the interior Vrindavana forest is considered superior to Mathura, but superior to these forests is the divine Govardhan Hill, because Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill like an umbrella, raising it with his lotus-like beautiful hand to protect his associates, the denizens of Raja, from the torrential rain sent by the angry Indra, king of the demigods. It is also at Govardhan Hill that Krishna tends cows with his cowherd friends, and there also he had his rendezvous with his most beloved Sri Radha and engaged in loving pastimes with her. Radhakunda at the foot of Govardhana is superior to all because it is there that love of Krishna overflows. Advanced devotees prefer to reside at Radhakunda because this place is the site of many memories of the eternal loving affairs between Krishna and Radharani, Rati Vilasa. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila is said that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first visited the area of Rajabhumi, he could not at first find the location of Radhakunda. This means that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually searching for the exact location of Radhakunda. Finally, he found the holy spot, and there was a small pond there. He took his bath in that small pond and told his devotees that the actual Radhakunda was situated there. Later, the pond was excavated by Lord Chaitanya's devotees, headed first by the 6 Goswamis, such as Rupa and Raghunath Dasa. Presently, there is a large lake known as Radhakunda there. Srila Rupa Goswami has given much stress to Radhakunda because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to find it. Who, then, would give up Radhakunda and try to reside elsewhere? No person with transcendental intelligence would do so. The importance of Radhakunda, however, cannot be realized by other Vaishnava sampradayas, nor can persons uninterested in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understand the spiritual importance and divine nature of Radhakunda. Thus, Radhakunda is mainly worshipped by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, I have friends that live in Radhakunda, people that I know from France, and most of them smoke marijuana in Radhakunda, right? And they're a bunch of dope heads. But, you know, they read this, so they wanted to live, you know, in the holiest place in the whole universe. That's Radhakunda. But they have... I'm not going to say all of them, but most of them are contaminated. So it's not geography that counts. It's consciousness that counts. So you can live in Radhakunda and smoke marijuana and even have illicit sex. In fact, some of the babas and so-called sannyasis, they keep women in Radhakunda that serve them personally, and some of them have sex with them. So, you know, it is the most sacred, holy place in the whole universe, because Krishna had some of his most intimate pastimes there. But that doesn't really mean anything to people who have low consciousness, you know. Even though they know it, that's why they're there. There used to be a person that lived there, he was an American devotee, and he left Vrindavan and started living in Radhakunda. When it was brought to Prabhupada's attention, he asked the devotees to talk to him and see why he did that, right? Because the temple was in Vrindavan, it wasn't in Radhakunda. And he said, well, he wanted to be a Babaji. So Prabhupada explained to him, if you're going to be a Babaji, then you can never leave Radhakunda. You have to stay there forever. But he wasn't very pleased with that, right? So this person, I forget his name, it was Radhakunda something. Anyway, he had a terminal disease. So he was thinking, I'll stay there and die, right? But then it didn't seem like his disease was getting worse. So he decided to go to Delhi to get a full medical checkup. He goes to Delhi, finds out that he's not sick. You know what he did? He bought a ticket and went back to New York. Right? And went back to sense gratification. So you see, one should not play games with Krishna consciousness. One has to be serious. Because there's another story, a true story. There was this one devotee, he was like a GBC, BBT, guru. He had all the titles. And then after Prabhupada disappeared, he was given the responsibility to manage Vrindavan temple. So he went to Vrindavan, and his main place was Europe. And he was very opulent, and people used to say, the sun never sets on Guru Day's empire. Because he had a zone that was like all over the world, right? So when he was in Vrindavan, he was just full of lush, full of money, right? So he decided to have his golden toilet transferred to Vrindavan. He had a gold toilet. Imagine that, right? Before the gold toilet arrived, he was thrown out of Vrindavan by Radharani and Krishna. and it was all downhill after that, and then he finally blooped. You can't play around with holy places, And, you don't bring your golden toilet from Italy to Vrindavan. That was one of the dumbest things I ever heard in my life. And he was kicked out, not by the devotees, but by Krishna himself, because that's like, Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan. Did he have a golden toilet? This is crazy. Vrindavan is a place for renunciation and contemplation and service. So you can't play around with these holy places. That's why it's better not to live there, but go and visit, and then comes back and do your service. If you live there, you have to be very, very strict. You cannot commit any offenses, because any offense committed in these holy places is amplified 1,000 times. The reaction is amplified 1,000 times. How do you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.